digital with new look. Various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcasts, live radio broadcasts, music playlists, podcasts, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as likes, comments and shares, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRE Digital. Available on Google Store and App Store. RRE Digital.
The Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs has urged the organizations of Islamic operatives to mobilize its resources to oppose Israel's plan to annex the Gaza Strip. He warned that Israel's push to realize its vision of a greater Israel and its ambition to assert full control over Gaza pose an existential threat to the survival and sovereignty of countries in the region. The Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs has reaffirmed the country's commitment to serving as a neutral and reliable development partner for Africa. She delivered the remarks during the thematic discussion titled Cooperation with Africa from Different Regions, organized by the Japan International Cooperation Agency in Yokohama, Japan on August 22, 2025. And that was the news. Thank you.
Lalu mataku merasa malu. Semakin dalam ia malu kali ini. Kadang juga ia takut. Tatkala harus berpapasan di tengah pelariannya.
Listener, right now we have a special report from RRA Bukit Tinggi City, where it is preparing to host a major humanitarian event, the Solidarity for Palestine and Charity Concerts with Wally Ban, scheduled for Saturday, October 18th, 2025. And this free public event is expected to draw tens of thousands, uniting the community through music and powerful call to support the people of Palestine. And right now with me from RRA Bukit Tinggi, my friend Kak Aldila Safitri. How are you, Kak? And can you tell us what is going on over there?
Okay, thank you, Steve. Bukit Tinggi is very hot for this this morning. And today's news from Bukit Tinggi, we stop from a major event titled Solidarity for Palestine and Charity Concert with Wally Ban. It's scheduled to take place on Saturday, October 18th, 2025, and the event will run from 6 a.m. until 12 p.m. and is free and open to the public. This event is collaborations between Kubro Indonesia and the Bukit Tinggi City Government. On Monday, August 25th, Kubro Indonesia CEO Ali Amril met with the Deputy Mayor of Bukit Tinggi, Ibnu Aziz, at City Hall to finalize preparation for the event. Ali Amril stated that a city survey has been conducted to determine the most suitable venue. Several locations are under considerations, including Sudirman Street, Atengarai Football Field, and the Bukit Ambacang Horse Track. And the event is expected to attract around 20,000 attendees, all of whom are encouraged to bring their best donations in support for humanitarian aid for Palestine. And he said that this event, to be more than entertainment, is a platform for education and solidarity, to touch the hearts of the people and inspire them to help Palestine. And the Bukit Tinggi City Government expressed strong support for this humanitarian initiative and confirmed its readiness to host the event. This concert is part of a largest movement with similar event planned in other Indonesian cities, starting with Bukit Tinggi, followed by Padang. Ray.
Okay, thank you so much, Kadila, for the report. And for listener, let us hope the best for Palestine and also the best for Indonesia in forwarding and spreading the words of peace around the world. And of course, for listener, stay tuned with us for more information about Indonesia to the world, only on Voice of Indonesia and RRA across Indonesia. So stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener going to culinary tour to Banyuwangi, East Java, you should come to Wit-Witan Market. The traditional market, which becomes one of favorite places in Banyuwangi, is located at Alas Malang Village, Singojuru Sub District, Banyuwangi. The market opens every Sunday morning, starting from 6 until 10 a.m. local time. Under the shady tree, you can enjoy various traditional culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as Geseng Bangsong. Geseng Bangsong is a typical food of Wijenan Kidul Hamlet, Singolatren Village, Singojuru Sub-District. Geseng Bangsong is a special menu and rarely found, which is made from duck meat as its main ingredient and wadung yang leaf that adds a unique sour taste. Wadung tree is many found and growing wild at the village. Besides giving sour taste, wadung leaf is also used to remove fishy smell from duck meat. The duck must be the big one, so it is usually used male duck for cooking geseng bangso. Besides wadung yang leaf, this culinary is also cooked with other spices such as cayenne, onion, and garlic. Geseng Bangsong has savory and spicy taste. Spicy taste mixed with sour taste certainly produce delicious food. In Banyuwangi, the food is usually served when Islamic events being conducted, such as the birth of Prophet Muhammad, Eid al-Fitr, and Eid Adha. But now, Geseng Bangsong can be found at Wit-Witan Market every Sunday. The price of the food is affordable, which is around 20,000 rupiah to 25,000 rupiah per portion. In addition to taste Geseng Bangsong, you can also enjoy other typical culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as rawon alas, sego cawu, as well as traditional snake such as tiwul and gatot, which is made from cassava. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. I'm Purisa Fridella. Thank you for listening.
Hello, listener. We're going to play a song titled Symphony Yang Indah, or The Beautiful Symphony. This song was created by Robbie Lea and first popularized by Bob Tutupoli. This song is included in a compilation album titled Festival Lagu Populer Indonesia 1980. Symphony Yang Indah has a deep meaning about love and being together. This song describes the feeling of beautiful and harmonious love and that the power of love can overcome obstacles and bring happiness. This song is also about sacrifice and loyalty in a relationship. In 2012, Wons came with his version of Symphony Yang Indah accompanied by modern music without losing the soul of the original version. Listener, this is Once with Symphony Yang Indah. Happy listening. Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. VOI listeners, today we'll be talking about Red and White Village Sub-District Cooperative Program set by the Indonesian government, which has shown significant growth, with recent data recording more than 80,500 cooperatives already legally registered. These cooperatives are expected to become a driving force of the local economy at a village and sub-district level, and to improve community welfare. To learn more about how these cooperatives will operate, the facilities provided, the profit-sharing mechanism, and the involvement of the private sector, today we're joined by Mr. Mulyadin Malik, head of the Agency for Village and Disadvantaged Regions Development and Information. Hello, Bapak Mulyadin Malik. Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Thank you so much for joining us here with us on Voice of Indonesia to tell us more about the Red and White Village or Sub-District Cooperative Program. So here we've got data showing that there are now around 80,500 legally registered Red and White Village cooperatives. So could you explain how these cooperatives will operate in practice at a village and sub-district level, Mulyadin?
Okay, thank you very much for the question and for this opportunity. The Red White Village Cooperative, or Koperasi Desa Merah Putih, is a presidential priority program designed to support a major mission of the government. Now, as Asta Cita, the Red White Village Cooperative aims to achieve sustainable food self-sufficiency, improve community welfare, and at the same time, promote national self-reliance. It is a true representation of people economy, of collective economic institution, initiated, managed, and fully utilized by community. So, how will the Red White Village Cooperative actually operate at the village level? The principle is simple. Cooperatives will grow in line with village potential. In agricultural villages, cooperatives can manage both the production and distribution of crops, enabling farmers to gain greater added value. In coastal villages, cooperatives will focus on the fishery sector, including capture agriculture and processing of marine products. Meanwhile, villages with natural beauty and cultural richness may develop tourism-based cooperatives. In this way, cooperatives are not made uniform, but instead tailored to the resource and economic strength of each village. Furthermore, the Red White Village Cooperative will form a larger economy ecosystem through collaborative between cooperative and the sub-district level. Cooperatives are also open to partnership with other economic institutions, such as village-owned enterprise or BUMDES, MSMEs, UMKM, and even regional and state-owned enterprise, BUMD or BUMN. In order to strengthen supply chains and expand markets, if necessary, professional expertise may also be engaged to broaden the scope of cooperative business. Through this approach, the Red White Village Cooperative will truly be present in village communities and become a driving force for the people's economic self-reliance.
Okay, and this cooperative also has a dedicated building. And now we are would like to know about the facilities or services that will be available inside the cooperative.
Okay, the Red White Village Cooperative is not just a business unit, but is positioned as the economic service center for the village community. In addition to having a managed hub, the cooperative also operates various business units such as saving and loan board, grocery board, a health clinic, a village pharmacy, fertilizer board, and digital service like cashless payments or a village marketplace. Some cooperatives are also equipped with cold storage, yes, agricultural processes matching facilities for developing local flagship products, as well as village logistic system. Thus, the cooperative is not merely a place for transaction, but a comprehensive economic service center, I mean a building village economy ecosystem.
Okay. And what about the process of these cooperatives' work, like from procurement to distribution? How's the process of goods entering and leaving the cooperative be managed?
Okay, let me give you some sample picture of how goods flow through the Red White Village Cooperative. First, the cooperative records the needs of its members and village community as the basis for procurement. Second, goods are sourced for local produce, MSMEs or OMKM, or official distributors for agricultural and fisheries products. The cooperative buys directly from farmers and fishermen at fair price. Third, all incoming goods are recorded and quality checked before being stored in the cooperative warehouse. Finally, distribution is carried out through the cooperative, either directly to members or between villages at the sub-district level. With this system, the distribution chains become shorter, costs are more efficient, farmers and MSMEs or OMKM receive fairer price, and villagers can access goods at more affordable price.
Okay, and since this cooperative aims to improve community welfare, what about mechanism for profit sharing?
Yeah, the profit sharing mechanism in the cooperative is called sisa hasil usaha, or the remaining operating results. The principle is the profit are not only for the management, but are distributed back to members based on the amount of their savings and their participation in cooperative transaction. Part of the profit is also allocated for business development. Reserves and social fund can be used for education, health, or assistance to underprivileged villagers. The distribution process is carried out transparently through the annual member meeting, and is now being shifting to a digital system to make it faster and more accountable. With this mechanism, member gain double independence. Parent price throughout the years and sisa hasil usaha, a bonus at the end of each period. In addition, the social fund ensures that cooperative directly contributes to improve community welfare. In this way, the profits truly return to the villagers.
And you said this cooperative involves micro, small, and medium enterprises, village communities. Which other parties will be engaged? And if private sectors is involved, what kind of concrete contributions that are expected from them?
In addition to MSMEs or OMKM and villages communities, the cooperatives also involve the regional, district, city government, financial institution or Himbara, Himpunan Bank Negara, universities, and the private sector. The government provides regulation, guidance, and access to national program. Financial institution support with affordable financial and digital service. University contribute through research, product innovation, and human resource training. From the private sector, incentive contribution including becoming regular buyer of village product, providing sector infrastructure such as warehouses or machinery and assistance with product standardization. They can also help open access to modern markets and export for cooperative product. With this collaboration, cooperatives become stronger and their benefits are directly felt by village community.
Yes. All right, Pak Mulyadin, final statement please to all Indonesians and our listeners worldwide about this Red and White Village Sub-District Cooperative Program that will contribute to the people's welfare.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for this opportunity. Once again, I hope that the Red White Village Cooperative will not only serve as an economic institution, but also grow into a shared movement that strengthens village economies and improve quality life of its people. To achieve this, we need collaborative efforts from the government, communities, businesses, education institutions, and also the media, which play an important role in spreading information and education to people about the importance for village cooperatives. Let us succeed in this program together, because when we build the village, we build Indonesia. Leading village for Indonesia.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Pak Mulyadin Malik. Hopefully we can go hand in hand building synergy to make this program succeed. Thank you so much, Pak Mulyadin Malik, head of the Agency for Village and Disadvantaged Regions Development and Information. Well, listeners, stay tuned for more inspiring, insightful talks on
sana. Sampaikan salam ini.
hadir menyambut hariku berlagu dengan gaya nadamu. Di mana aku di sini rindu akan nawaimu. Semesta riang tersenyum merekah, lagumu bagai semangat di jiwa. Oh hatiku ini rindu, namun tak perlu berharap. Mari bermain bersama dalam sedih senang riang, ayunan pesona jiwa dan berpesta. Ingat-ingat retropolitan mesin waktu menemui masa lalu. Gaya pesona dalam nyanyian bahagia yang kau cipta. Semesta memberi dan berterima kasih padamu. Oh jangka jikalau ada kumbah dalam hati, terbersih dalam air dan api. Nadamu akan selalu menjadi warna hidup.
One of the villages located at Tumbak Island, Tumbak Village, Posumain Sub-District, Southeast Minahasa, North Sulawesi. Tumbak Island is an uninhabited island. The name of Tumbak is an acronym which means mangrove tree because there are a lot of mangrove trees growing at the village. The trip to the village from Manado City takes around 3 hours. The village has amazing panorama and wonderful attractions. We recommend you to stay at the island for 2 days to truly enjoy the best experiences there. One of the features of Tumbak Island is its white sand. The crystal clear and blue ocean looks incredibly beautiful. The clearness of the water makes the coral reefs under the sea visible from the surface. If you want to explore the underwater beauty of Tumbak, we suggest you to rent a cottage near the mangrove forest. The distance between the village and the cottage, which is located in the middle of the sea, only takes 10 minutes by taking boat. Visitors who come to island will be fascinated by the wonderful scenery. You can also witness the beautiful sunrise and sunset from the cottage. In addition, you can also do snorkeling from the cottage because there are various snorkeling spots near the cottage. There are also many kinds of sea creatures such as fish and starfish. If you are capable enough of doing snorkeling and diving, you can explore a 300-meter sea fan forest with a width of 3 to 6 meters. If you still have no experience in snorkeling and diving, you can hire a guide who will help you. You can also try different experiences by snorkeling at night. The beach also offers other activities for tourists such as fishing, diving, and exploring mangrove forest. In addition, you can also enjoy the tasty baked fish surrounding the beach.
Ribuan hari aku menunggumu, jutaan lagu tercipta untukmu. Apakah kau akan terus begini? Masih adakah celah di hatimu yang masih bisa aku tuk singgahi? Cobalah aku kapan engkau mau. Kesejukan yang kau rasa. Coba keluar di terik siang, ingatlah bintang yang kau sapa, maka kehangatan yang kau. Itu aku.
Kasoami is a unique and typical food from Southeast Sulawesi, specifically in Buton, Muna, and Wakatobi areas. Kasoami is generally shaped like a tumpeng or cone and is yellowish white. Cassava, which is widely grown in the Sulawesi archipelago, is the main ingredient of kasoami. Firstly, the cassava is washed, peeled, and shredded or milled using a machine. Then the grated cassava is put in a sack or cloth to be compacted. This compaction is to remove water content by being crushed or pressed using a tool made of wood or large stones. Then leave it for 1 to 3 hours until the water is completely dry. The solid is pure white. Next, the solid is wrapped in teak or banana leaves and tied. The solid is called KGP. To make kasoami, initially KGP is kneaded by hand until it looks like flour. Then the ingredients are put into a very unique steaming cone. This tool is made from woven coconut leaves. To steam the KGP, they use a pot made of clay similar to a jar. The cone filled with KGP flour is put into the mouth of the pot. Then it is cooked with medium heat and medium volume of water in a pot for about 15 minutes. One kasoami is generally made with a diameter of 10 cm and a height of 10 cm and weighs approximately 500 to 700 grams. Usually, a person can spend 1 to 2 kasoamis. Kasoami is sometimes served as a substitute for rice because it is often served along with vegetables and side dishes of various processed fish, such as grilled fish, fried fish, and salted fish. Kasoami is the initial food in Buton's traditional events. Interestingly, kasoami is also often used as stocks for trips or souvenirs between fellow Buton residents. Kasoami can be eaten without side dishes, accompanied by a cup of hot tea in the afternoon. The distinctive taste of cassava and the sweet blend of tea will add to this culinary delight.
Voi listener, don't forget that you can tune in to our online streaming in voinews.id. Shortwave in 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Also, our application in RRE Digital for those of you who love watching on demand. And Voi listener, also, if you want, you can send your messages through our social media. In Facebook account, The Voice of Indonesia. Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. Instagram and TikTok in VOI _official. There's also email address in VOI listeners at gmail.com and also our WhatsApp number in +62 821 2381 2130. Stay tuned with me, Ray, in Indonesia today.
Gempol Pleret is one of the legendary Solo culinary delights because there are not many traders selling this culinary anymore. But you don't have to worry if you are already in Solo and want to taste this traditional culinary. Although it is a popular culinary delicacy in Solo, in certain places there are still traders selling this as Gempol Pleret, such as in the Gede Market, Lawayan Market, and in the Manahan Field.